of the event. And today we have commemoration of St. Peter's Chair in Antioch, and also the St. Peter's commemoration of St. Paul. Immediately after Mass today, we will have a shorter format of the stations, 14 stations with the shorter prayers. Then I will distribute ashes. I'm looking forward, just about 1 month, 4 weeks actually, instead of 4 weeks, there will be a day of recollection. Berkeley is kind enough to come all the way from Seattle. I'll be doing something similar for him. So that will be on Saturday. It will be from 9 in the morning till 3 in the afternoon for ladies and gentlemen, both young and old. What I would ask you to do in preparation for that then is you do have a sign-up sheet to note the families and how many attending. Also, it will require a certain amount of preparation, which you should presume it will be a rainy day, and hope for a nicer day, but to prepare for rain, so a certain amount of shelters, and also Father Berkeley is desires of giving you a good opportunity for confession. So what I did want to do is set up a confessional actually in the shed, tidy it up and set it out there. That way we don't have to worry with the restroom. So there are a number of things to do there. The starting point then is to set aside the time and to sign up. So I have an account, and Father Berkeley has an account, we can prepare. The epistle appointed to be read for today's Mass is taken from that of St. Paul to the Corinthians. Brethren, we do exhort you that you receive not the grace of God in vain, for you said that in an acceptable time have I heard thee, and in the day of salvation have I helped thee. Behold, now is the acceptable time, now is the day of salvation. Giving no offense to any man, that our ministry be not blamed. But in all things let us exhibit ourselves as the ministers of God, in much patience and tribulation, in necessities and distresses, in stripes and prisons and seditions, in labors and watchings and fastings, in chastity and knowledge and longsuffering, in sweetness in the Holy Ghost, in charity and faith, in the word of truth, in the power of God. By the armor of justice on the right hand and on the left, in honor and dishonor, but evil report and good report, as deceivers and yet true, as unknown and yet known, as dying and behold we live, as chastised and not killed, as sorrowful yet always rejoicing, as needy yet enriching many, as having nothing and possessing all things. Please stand for the Holy Gospel. At that time Jesus was led by the Spirit into the desert to be tempted by the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, afterward we. The tempter coming said to him, if thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. Who answered and said, it is written, not in bread alone doth man live, but in every word that proceedeth from the mouth of God. Then the devil took him up into the holy city and set him upon the pinnacle of the temple, and said to him, if thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down, for it is written, he hath given his angels charge over thee, and in their hands shall they bear thee up, lest perhaps thou dash thy foot against a stone. Jesus said to him, it is written again, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Again the devil took him up into a very high mountain, and showed him all the kingdoms of the world, and the glory of them, and said to him, all these will I give thee, if falling down thou wilt adore me. Then Jesus said to him, begone, Satan, for it is written, the Lord thy God shalt thou adore, and him only shalt thou serve. Then the devil left him, and behold, angels came and ministered to him. By the words of the Holy Gospel, may our sins be blotted. Brethren, we exhort you that you receive not the grace of God in vain, for he said, in an acceptable time have I heard thee, and in the day of salvation have I helped thee. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. My dear faithful, In the Gospel today, we have the account of the three temptations which our Lord endured for our sake. The devil came to him. They were external, for our Lord did not have any disorders within his own soul. Rather, the devil came from without. Tempted him not by just unregulated desires, but rather by pride, by a vanity of changing the stones into bread, or of casting himself down from the temple, or being the master of the whole world. So that was the devil's like sales pitch to our divine Lord. Our Savior rejected him on all three ways. Now the devil likewise tempts us. Our Lord endured it in order to forewarn us, but also to forearm us. How does the devil tempt us? Well, by pride indeed, and by presumption, saying, I can live my life my way rather than God's way, and it will all work out. Somehow I'll get to heaven. But the devil can also work on things that are there even without the devil's machinations. Laziness, disordered appetites, the things and the pleasures and the activities of this world. And how does the devil do it? Well, it's not usually by coming at us front on, but by kind of whispering in our ear. And you see some of the illustrations of our Lord's temptation, the devil saying, listen to this. And the three things that the devil likes to whisper in our ear are, first of all, there is no hurry. And second, there is no urgency. And third, they think he's got to back up a little bit, there is no use. There is no hurry. There is no urgency. There is no use. On Ash Wednesday, the ashes are blessed and are made by burning the palms from the previous Palm Sunday. Those ashes, which are left by the church, are a warning and a defense against those three lies. By the ashes, we are urged to make a strenuous effort to fight sin and push forward with regard to our salvation. And so, you will be receiving your ashes today. The church permits that when there isn't an opportunity on Ash Wednesday itself, to be on the Sunday following. As you receive the ashes, you should think of those three things. Yes, there is a hurry. Yes, there is an urgency. And yes, with God's help, it's absolutely possible to overcome sin and to gain heaven. And so, the first, no hurry. Of course, sacred scripture tells us otherwise. In the book of Psalms, today, you hear the voice of the Lord, harden not your hearts. And we have today in this epistle from St. Paul, and he's quoting the Old Testament, in an acceptable time I have heard thee, and in the day of salvation I have helped thee. And so, we also consider what our Savior tells us about the man who was at the farmer. He was doing well, and his harvests were increasing, and he just didn't have room in his barns and granaries. So he said, okay, I'm going to carry down what I have and build bigger ones. It's like, my business is doing so well, I have to expand. And everything is just fine. And then, what does our Savior say? Thou fool, for this night thy soul shall be required of thee. But there is a hurry, not in the sense of just an agitation, to get on it and to have ourselves at peace with God, but also to push forward. We're in this world not simply to exist and to be like avoid hell, but we're here to gain heaven. And what we should fear then, and not in an unreasonable way, but a very reasonable, thoughtful way, it's not just sudden death, as we think of that. That can happen to any of us, whether from something outside or inside. But the loss of reason, or the slavery of a sinful habit. So those are the things to fear. And thus we have... the church gives us a time, very often, if we don't set a time for something, we don't get going and get it done. We know the government, they say, well, tax day, there's a certain deadline, and there's a certain hurry, it can be an ordered hurry to get things done. So that needs to be our thought. And what does it mean? Well, get on it with regard to what we are already started. Wonderful. And then to review and each day to make the effort for the things I'm going to give up, the extra prayers I'm going to say, the works of charity that I'm going to do, going and get them done. The second lie of the infernal one, the second whisper is, there's no urgency. Oh yeah, get started. But if you don't get it done now, where this could fit in, you know, yes, you can have your cake and eat it too. You can serve God and man and so on. And it's okay to do a little something for Lent, but provided it doesn't get in the way of our other endeavors. I recall something that was related to me by a colleague from many years ago, out of a little school together. And at that time, they would have a spring break in March. And it happened that year, it passed once, it was in the middle of it. So the transportation was shut down, so the school had to take that week off. And he went to visit some relatives of his in New Jersey, or somewhere near Atlantic City. And so he happened to be there on Ash Wednesday. They took him to see some of the local sites, including a casino. Now, he wasn't going to go gamble at the casino, but Ash Wednesday, he went in, and then the thing that really struck him, and he related it, was there were all these elderly people, and like the white hair, and then the black ashes on the forehead, and they were visibly at the slot machines and whatever else. Well, they'd gone through the external motions of getting ashes, but really, into the spirit of Lent, I think you'd have to say no. And so that their priorities were kind of turned around. Another experience that I had, quite a few years, trying to get to missions in the very east of Canada in Newfoundland, I ended up at Toronto Airport, got on the airplane, we flew, and then the winds were too high in the wrong direction, so we had to turn around and came back. Ended up there at 2 in the morning, and they put me on a 6:30 flight and said, it's not even worth going to a hotel, just try to get some sleep in the airport. So I went and found some seats what I thought was a quiet spot, arranged my luggage, and tried to take a nap. And then I got a bit of a nap, and then I was awakened by a commotion. Well, it turned out I was relatively close to one of the security checkpoints. It wasn't open at 2 in the morning, but it was open at 4:30. And it wasn't just open for business travelers. You know, again, it was March, all these families, and apparently they were going on their March vacation. School was off again. And it wasn't just adults, but it was children. So 4:30, 5 o'clock in the morning, they were at the security. What time did they get up? I wonder if they even went to bed. And so they had put their vacation as a very high priority, a higher priority than getting a quiet night's sleep. Well, imagine if we would say that everyone has to be here at the church for 4:30 in the morning for the children. Would that be? We'll say, well, is that excessive? Well, it's going to come close to it on Holy Saturday. It was just one day a year. But these people had a priority then, an urgency of getting to the airport on time in order to go on their vacation. And so it just struck me what a contrast to what so many people do or don't do for Lent. So how does this come, and especially how does it come for those who are maybe a little older? It's, well, I'm not so bad. Well, kind of in the back of my mind, eventually everyone's going to get to heaven. But rather, we should have in our mind, oh, this is crucial for my salvation. This is why the church not only suggests it, but imposes it. Beautiful example or instruction that comes from a place in Ireland called Kilpatrick. It says big brooding mountain from the west of Ireland almost to the sea. And the history is that once, maybe more than once, St. Patrick spent Lent on top of this mountain. It's rocky, there are no real trees, maybe some shrubs, and it's windswept and rainy, and not really a pleasure place. But St. Patrick would go up there to get away from all of his cares, to be close to our Lord during Lent, and then labors. And one of my priest colleagues went and visited there. He went into a little store at the base of it, and he was trying to ask kind of probing questions. So he asked the storekeeper, well, why do people come here? He said, they come and they walk up, and there's a certain thing to do, and some may even walk up barefoot on rather sharp rocks. And the storekeeper's response, which was typically Irish, he said, fire insurance. Insurance against the fire of hell. Insurance against the fire of purgatory. And you might say fire assurance to foster the fire of divine love. And so we say, what is the purpose of Lent? We could say fire insurance. And of course that fits the ashes, because the ashes are made of the burning pot. So they remind us of death that must come, which can come very quickly. And then they remind us to be aware, to beware of the fires of hell. The third lie of Satan, the old Nick, as the Irish call him, is to say, there's no point, there's no use. You're done for. You're going to hell. Give up. And of course, that's a hideous lie. It's contrary to the words of sacred scripture that we have so often during the beginning of Lent, even from the Old Testament. I desire not the death of the sinner, but that he be converted and amend his ways. And the beautiful explanation of our Lord that there is more joy over the angels in heaven, over one sinner doing penance, than over 99 not eating penance. And then the connection from the Old Testament to ashes, and that's Nineveh. I'm sure we all know about the prophet Jonas. And God told him to go to Nineveh, which was not a Hebrew or Jewish and Israelite city. It was a pagan city. They had fallen into a pattern of sin. Yet God, in his mercy, told Jonas, go warn them, or warn them to repent and change their ways. But Jonas didn't like them. He tried to go the other way. You know, God sent a storm, and eventually the sailors realized that Jonas was fleeing from God, and he said, well, throw me overboard, and again, he spent 3 days in the belly of a whale and got popped up on the shore, and eventually did what he was supposed to do. But when he got to Nineveh and he warned the people, they listened. Not just the ordinary people, but the king. And what did the king say? Everyone put on sackcloth, like a burlap sack, itchy, and then put ashes on your head. And so they did that as an outward sign of their sorrow for their sins. They repented, and God spared their city. It's for the pagans. So when the devil says, there's no use, no point, you're lost, he is true to form, he is a liar. God says, if you will make use of this grace, and St. Paul says that you receive the grace of God not in vain, but rather to your salvation, that there's no sin so horrible, no pattern of sin so horrible, that we cannot overcome it. And so, in our own lives then, we must realize and take to heart that Lent is a precious time to get on with it, that every effort where Lent and the observance of Lent is worthwhile. And as weak as we are, that we have the promise of our Lord to St. Paul, to us, that my grace is sufficient for thee. At the same time, he realizes Satan and his minions, sometimes outside and sometimes on our own misguided mind, will continue to whisper to say, there is no hurry, there's no urgency, there's no point. We rather need to imitate our divine Lord and say to him, to them, be gone, Satan. May God bless you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost.